I'm Jason.
And I'm Katrina.
And welcome to the Sipcast.
See what we did there?
Yeah, it's like a podcast, but related to itself.
And just like with relatives, sometimes things get a little inappropriate.
And racist.
Yeah, usually.
Not necessarily for children.
Or really adults.
Yeah, never mind. I'm gonna bail.
Okay, bye.
See ya. Recording.
Call now. There's a guy here locally. He's talked about like roofs and siding and get in now. Well, you know, well, my crew's not busy, so call now. He literally
Wait,
does
his
that.
His crew's not busy?
Well, yeah, because like when it's colder, they're not as busy for roofs and stuff. And so he's like, if you can get in now and you can wait for us during the weather. Then
that seems like kind of a, well, I don't know. Like, what's up with this commercial then? If your crew's not busy, then what am I doing?
Like, no, they're saying.
If I hire you based on this commercial, then are you going to take the commercial down? I don't know. This commercial's confusing.
They're just saying that they're going to give you a discount because this is their less busy season.
Yeah, and that's very nice. But this commercial's, I'd like to talk more about why this commercial exists, because if I hire you, then you're busy. Now the commercial's a lie. So is the commercial a lie now? Or do you put the commercial up every time you have no work? Do you take it down once you're hired? Is what I want to know.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay. I'll go with that.
Can you comfortably move on now?
No, well, I forgot the question, so I'll go ahead and take that answer.
No, I'm still mad about it. I forget what it was, but yeah.
Actually, maybe that's the new tactic, is instead of answering questions, just prattle on until the question is a distant dot on the horizon, and then you're like, see? Okay, here we go. Let's get on this boat now, people.
Ah! Hold on, I'm dropping everything. Oh, my gosh.
There's not even any water. I guess I'll get on the boat, because it's not going to go anywhere. Oh, that's what you think. Yeah, off we go. Seize the day. Onto the high seas of the day.
Hold on, it's high tide. I'd wait.
Today's catch is imagination. It's whatever you make of it.
Oh, that's cute.
Seize the day.
So you're telling me to have a seizure.
Would anybody like to go for a picnic? You may ask. But we're in the middle of the ocean. I say seize the day. Grab the blankets. Here we go.
Grab the blankets.
Into the water.
Let's go. Let's go.
Maybe we'll have an adventure. Seize the day.
You've gone too far. Yeah. The other
Into
day.
Into the depths I have gone.
Gosh. Here he is. Here he is, folks.
It's high tide. We seize the day.
C'est la vie. Wait, is that it? That's right.
C'est la day.
No, that's that is life.
C'est la day. No. C'est la day.
C'est la day.
C'est la day.
C'est la day.
Rico, suave day.
My Italian exchange student on gymnastics, she taught me another one. Sono orgogliosa. That means I am proud of you.
I'm gonna do the Macadena.
Hey.
Macadena. I don't know why I've latched onto this phrase with Rob Schneider-like tenacity, but I'm going to ride this career into the ground and then some. They have subterranean careers now. You can't convince me otherwise. I'm going to do it.
Yep, I agree. And I don't even think that it's not useful.
While I'm down there, I'm going to find Tremors 4 and The Bar set by President Trump.
I don't know if you can go that low. Get your gear.
Yeah, we're going to have to revisit that movie, The Core, and take some notes.
Get some samples.
So when it's underground, it's called magma. Okay.
Magma.
Yeah, that's like saliva. Okay.
Saliva. Well, when we went to Wyoming and we went to South Pass City, they have mining core samples that you could buy from back like forever ago. And it was really cool. I did buy one. It was heavy and I liked it.
Get you some hardcore samples. Yeah. Bruh. Rock out.
I don't know why I got it. I don't think
Rock
I can do it.
Rock out with your sample out.
hey, put your sample
Whoa.
Away.
Hey, get those samples away.
Ooh, my goodness. You think you know somebody.
I have a sample amount of rock.
a handful of a sample of rock.
Nice. Trying to get that handful of sample.
Yeah, we're so lit right now.
Oh, man, extremely.
So.
Extremely.
Freaking lit.
Yeah. I feel the candle power.
We are candle
power. The power of candles. You know what? Yeah. You know what? If I had a million candles, I'd be pretty good, you know? Okay.
I'd be kind of okay.
A lot of light, a lot of melting wax. Have you noticed that there's quality, quality can't. Here are quality candles. Mm-hmm. We like to focus on making candles that burn entirely because they're quality candles.
Yeah, some candles what the hell? Don't burn when you get to the bottom
entirely.
Some candles, I got one the other day that was like, you know what? It's not going to burn all the way at the end, but you still get plenty of hours, so get over it. That's basically what it says.
People come here for a hot candle talk, but I'm hot candles. There are bad candles.
Bad candles.
They basically just puke the whole time they're burning. It's like the drunken uncle candle, the drunk hunk candle.
I knew you were going to try it.
The drunk hunk candle. Okay, there we go. It's the unk candle. This is why I say stupid things in series, because now I have the unk candle. It's the unk candle, the drunk unk candle. It's uncandy.
Oh,
no. Because some candles, they just show up in a freaking sweater and they get lit and then they just vomit everywhere and it's a big mess and everyone's like, what's up with that candle? Who was he? What was that about?
That's my drunk candle.
That's my drunk unk candle.
Unk. Drunk unk candle.
My unk candle. It's because it did technically stay lit for about half an hour, but now there's a puddle of shitty wax, of schwax over here. Schwaxing poetic over here.
Schwax.
Schwaxing pathetic. And now there's this puddle of wax.
Schwax on, schwax off.
Not even fit for a hedonist. Mm-mm. And this wax is not nipple ready. It's not nipple-rific, okay? It does not chart. Unchartable. And so there's other candles that they burn for hours and then they're gone. And you're like, where was that mystical candle and where did he go?
Wherefore art thou?
Mystical stranger.
Mystical stranger.
Come back and be the light of my life once more.
Please,
I like
light
those
up
candles.
My life.
Those candles have a can-do attitude. Yeah. I think there was something in my coffee, and it had to do with puns.
I think it was. Mm. It certainly did, because there's a commitment to it that I've never seen from you before.
Someone punched my coffee.
Oh, okay.
They can't all be winners.
No, they can't, yeah. And certainly not that one.
Statistically speaking, 90% of them won't be, so.
Yeah.
You're welcome for, you know, hitting above the 20% success ratio in most instances. That's a 200% increase in productivity. I should be getting paid for this, you know? You're lucky. I do this for free.
Actually, we don't do it for free. It takes our time, so it actually costs us.
I spend productivity doing this. I should be earning money, but I'm doing this instead, as well as other things that don't make me money.
Yep, that sounds like the story of your life.
Yep. I have a diverse portfolio of amateur interests that are not profitable in any way at all.
And it actually costs me, spiritually, financially.
And while we're at it, here's $5. You're welcome.
That'd be funny. It's like our advertising. We don't get paid. We still pay other people somehow.
Yeah. I have an iFundU account. I need money, but I just post up $5, and it's kind of like just sort of tossing a $5 or like a French fry up in the air in the middle of a bunch of seagulls. It's whoever gets the dollar first, whoever just swoops whoever, in and just grabs it.
Whoever's like, most eager or ready, or it just happens so.
It's like, I don't have this money to spend. A prerequisite of being one of my iFundU patrons is that you have adequate funds. You have to be comfortable in your finances. I'm not giving money to people who need it because I need it. So why would I give it to someone else?
Yeah, it already doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go, I'm going to rob from myself and give to the comfortably employed. I'm Randall Hood.
You should literally be working so hard just to be comfortably employed. I think that's your goal.
Yeah. I'm jealous of people who are comfortably employed.
I can't because it's so real.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to be like a regular person, but I would like to have a comfortable employment of as much regularity. That would be nice.
So not just apples?
Or I want one of those jobs. I keep thinking every now and then it'd be nice to have one of those jobs where you kind of stumble into it, where someone's like, they're starting a company, or they're like a friend in a company, and they're just like, hey, we need you to, two times a day, you need to drive to this outpost here and check out this number on this readout and just write it down, record that. Every 2 weeks, we'll check in and we'll just download that data. And we'll just need you to do that. Here's $10,000 a month because I don't know, whatever. Like, just do it and we'll get back to you. Just one of those, like, weird interim jobs that gets lost in the shuffle where it's like you're not really doing a lot, but they just need it done and they have enough extra wham. And then you get lost in the shuffle like that dude in Office Space with the stapler where they just, except opposite, you're getting paid and you're not working. And then eventually I just set up like a webcam and I automate TF out of it and then I get caught and then the whole thing goes under and then I'm resentful because my cush gig that I rigged in my favor is now gone.
Yeah, you uncushed it. Okay, so
is this... Well, I'm all resentful. I'm like, hey, I want a guaranteed income of $10,000 a month for doing nothing. What the hell, man?
So this is what you think about when you're not comfortably employed.
This is what I think about right now, which is a state of comfortable, uncomfortable unemployment.
Uncomfortable unemployment. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I'd at least like to be comfortably unemployed. That would be. That would be the dream.
You're like, that's fine too.
That would be good too. I could deal with that.
That's like the Daniel Tosh bit that he does where he's just like, why can't someone just walk by and be like, hey, you want this Ferrari or Mercedes? And it's like, yeah, sure. He goes, I think about that a lot. That reminds me of you. Yeah, I think about that a lot.
Yep. If I could just find a suitcase filled with cash, just one. I mean, I don't need like, I'm not greedy. Just like, you know, a few million dollars in one suitcase. That'd be fine. I'm fine.
I know. Anthony's like, can we buy a house and then just have there be a cash left in the closet? Is that really like, so much?
And then there's a note on the cashier that says, I left this cashier for you so you'd be happy. I'm perfectly okay also, so don't worry about the source of this money. There's no victims here. Victimless cash.
It's probably fine.
Yeah. It definitely wouldn't be like a serial liar at the end of that note, and then I wouldn't be living my life wondering if that note was written in sincerity or in irony. That wouldn't be what I was thinking. Just be spending that money. Just be making it rain, dog.
That's right.
I'd be making it rain, dog and cat.
That one wasn't good either. That's all right.
None of them are. You don't need to keep pointing them out.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, the other day I was at gymnastics.
They fart for themselves.
What, was it yesterday? Someone did something. I go, yeah, that wasn't good. We'll get it next time. And the girls were like, coach. I'm like, what? I'm not here to waste time or lie to you.
Yeah, although, I'm not here to make friends or lie to you. I'm here to be real and to win.
Well, we are
winning. Just go all Big Brother on them and just be a cartoon of a champion.
Well, we are winning a lot, and that does feel great. So I can't say that there isn't a connection, you know, but there might be a connection. Hands off of that one.
So you think just because you're the coach, you have something to do with that?
I didn't say it. You said it.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Whoops. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, walked right into that one and then took some stuff and then walked right back out.
You would. You'd be like, I don't need this. It'd be funny if you're walking out with a bunch of stuff and you're holding it and it's not yours. And then as you leave, you're like, I don't want this. And you set it back down and then still leave.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I didn't. I decided against this.
No, I'm sorry. This is in poor taste.
If you say it, next time you say, well, I walked right into that one, then pause for a second, while I'm here, and then just punch the person in the face. whoever you're talking to. It's like, well, I'm here. And then you just get even with them through physical violence.
My goodness.
Like, you son of a bitch. Make me look like an idiot. I'll show you.
Well, I think I'm leaning really too comfortably into this whole honesty thing. Like, I like being honest, but it's so brutally honest that, like, I think it is a part of who I am now. I don't think it's a choice anymore.
It's like a love for chocolate. You learn. When I was a kid, I didn't understand, but the older you get, the more you have a passionate love for chocolate.
That's true.
And it's the same thing with honesty. The older you get, the fewer shits you have left. And, like, if you're doing it right, I think that's why old people are just, you know, so badass. Because you get older, you're just like, well, fuck it, you know? Like, you just strip away all the unnecessary leaves of the artichoke heart.
Yes!
And then eventually...
Artichoke heart, yes.
You're just left with a bare heart of choke.
Yeah, because I'm not mean. Anything I say is not mean. And maybe I'm just taking too much of a cue from Roscoe, but, like, because he's 8 and I'm 36, it's fine. But, like, I don't know. I'm not mean. And they know that I'm not coming from a mean place at all. But I'm not here to waste time. Like, there was an episode the other day we watched. We'd seen it before, but it had been a while, of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And it's the one where it's got that guy that was on that faux Bachelor show that was circulating online that was really, 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 really funny.
That faux show.
You've seen it. You saw it, too. It was so funny. Anyway, that guy, and he was the chief, and he was just like, he's like, oh, gosh, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. He's like, what's going to happen? He goes, no, wait, sugarcoat it for me. And he goes, it's probably fine. He's like, yeah, all right, it's fine. It was just, the whole episode was hilarious. And then later when he got in trouble, he goes, well, you lied to me. You told me it was going to be fine. He's like, you told me to say that. He goes, I did. The whole episode. I have to remember what that one was called. That was... one of my favorite Brooklyn Nine-Nines. I'm very glad that they got picked up. I think they got picked up by a totally different network, too. But that's
We should pick them up here. We can start a new segment where, you know, you reenact.
I knew you were going to do that. You know what? And I was prepared for it. And fuck you.
Okay. Well, you did have that one chambered. If you know I'm going to do that, then why did you do the thing that you did, is my question.
I don't have rhyme or reason, but I don't mind being called out for it either, because it's pretty fun.
Well, if you could have one or the other, it would be nice. Pick one and
get it. This is why we can't have nice things.
I know they're in separate rooms, but go get the rhyme or the reason. One would help.
Go get them.
The reason.
Let's squish someone's face. You go get it.
Let go of my arm. You're hurting me.
Ow, you're hurting me.
Yep.
How are your cats?
Oh, they're great. So great. Ridiculous.
Is little fluffy. Lady still hanging around?
Yeah, the Clarksons are still open to letting her hang out in the country. I have a mixed nuts feeling.
Yeah. A mixed can of nuts feeling.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm too much of a cat person to feel comfortable, but at the same time, she doesn't gel. She's terrible at gelling with the group.
Yeah, but she also is only an indoor cat. I think she's so tiny, and that
road
is...
Well, she wants to go out. I don't know. She's pretty savvy. I'm not worried about how smart. I would be mostly worried about her getting swooped by a hawk, but they said there haven't been that many.
Is she spayed?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Need to get me to do that to see if it would adjust her temperament.
Well, yeah, you got to do that. You can't release her until that happens.
Unless we just want tiny little baby cats, because she's pretty small.
Yeah, that'd be cute, but you can't just do that, because then it just perpetuates itself over and over.
Yeah, but kittens are so cool. Like,
oh my gosh, there's enough of them. That's why you got yours from the Humane Society.
Yeah, exactly, and look how well that worked out.
Yeah, okay. For them.
And me. I got some great cats out of the deal.
You did.
I'll tell you what. If there was not somebody out there irresponsibly and incidentally breeding cats, I wouldn't have these lovely fluffies here for my amusement. They're ridiculous. Yesterday, I walked out into the hallway and Telemere was just on her back just playing with an invisible piece of nothing, and it was just ridiculous looking. It's like, what a silly thing to come upon.
What? But... so little freaking joyous.
Little ball of fur just wriggling around, waving her paws around. And I don't even see, but it's just like, well, that's adorable. That's silly. I was thinking about something macabre, and now that's just silly now. So now I'm happier. So that's good. It happens a lot.
It's
nice.
Literally just so much joy, though. Like,
yeah.
Like my cats, mom, oh, this is a funny story. So dad was really thoughtful and ordered something for their cats. And he got it for mom. And he's like, here, I got this for you, for our cats. I'm like, wait a second. Now I say that loud. Wait, who is it for? But anyway, I was like, oh, that's cool. And you know, most of mom's stuff, I thought she just picked it up somewhere. And she's like, yeah. She goes, dad got that for me. I'm like, oh, well, then I can't take it. She's like, no, if your cats will use it, you can have it. I can get another one. I was like, mom, I'm not going to take it. Dad actually was very thoughtful and got this for you. She's like, just take it. So I'm like, okay, I'll take it. So I took it, and it's like a double, it's basically like a window bunk bed for cats. And my cats are obsessed with it, and they love it, and they use it every single day. And some of the funniest stuff happens now on this double bunk bed window, because there's a hole on the top one so they can, like, reach down and hit each other and stuff, and then, like, fight over stuff. But it's so precious, and I'm just like, oh, you guys bring me such joy if you only didn't poop in a box.
Well, would you rather they don't poop in the box?
No, I do. It's just the poop stinks, and it's at least...
Super convenient. Pooping in the box part. That's a sales pitch right there. It's a selling point.
See, and that's a thing that always impresses me too when I think about cats. That's a bonus. I'm always impressed with cats. Like they already know. Like somehow they have those instincts and they're just born to poop in a box. I want to know how that happens. I think that's really neat.
I think it has to do with shame, which, you know, speaks to the power.
Oh, okay.
And the majesty of shame.
Okay.
I think that they're ashamed of what came out of them because they're a cleanly animal.
Oh.
So they're trying to cover it up. So they're looking for sandy patches. They're looking for ways they can cover it up.
Sandy patches.
The name Sandy Patch.
Yeah.
Pornographic investigator Sandy Patch.
Oh.
Sandy Patches. She just wears a big stuffy coat that obscures her figure, but she has an attractive face. So you don't really know if she's in the business or if this is a gag or...
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah. You know, there is a band called Corn on Macabre.
Are you serious?
Corn on Macabre.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I don't know. They look like... Hold on. Let me get us... It's
seriously, that is so freaking clever. Like, I can't even...
What is this?
These are the people These are the people that make our world.
Oh, hell
better.
Yeah. Here, I'll just put my headphone up to the thing.
Oh my gosh. I can't hear anything.
That's what's up.
I can't hear anything.
I'm impressed. Check those guys out. That's a swinging tune. Real finger snapper, toe tapper. Real toe snapper.
Toe snapper out?
Yeah. I stubbed the fuck out of my toe moshing to that song.
See, now that, and then that makes sense.
I'd like some moshed potatoes, please.
Moshed potatoes. Oh.
See, there's that 10% we're looking for. Knocked it out of the park.
Oh, man. It's more like 6%, but I'll take it.
Yeah. You know, it's whatever you get, basically.
I'm
whatever's
sorry.
Available. You got here late. Go fuck yourself. Here you go.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. Here's a quarter.
here's a big scoop of go fuck yourself. Now get out of here.
Yeah, silly kids.
Yeah, piece of shit.
Oh, moshed potatoes. I can't.
Well, there's an episode title if I've ever said one. Don't even need to look for that.
I know. I think it's funny how funny you think you are, which you are.
Someone's got to.
But how... I know, someone's got to. But like how my quotes never make it. Even though some of them are pretty good, but they never make it.
Sometimes they do, but, you know...
I know.
You gotta say more of them.
You're more impressed with yourself. No, some of mine are good. Don't you come for me, Uncle Jay-Z.
You produce an entire podcast yourself, and then you get to make the decisions, which are highly selfish.
Exactly. Okay, you're right. No, you got me there.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm not just doing this for my health. I'm not doing it for the health of it.
Just for the health of it.
I don't get paid. If I'm going to pay money, I'm going to pay attention also to myself.
And also, there's no money.
Well, I'm paying it to myself, but it comes back. It's like, if I give myself $5, I only get $3, and I'm like, wait, what the fuck?
That makes sense.
Where'd that go? I don't know, man. Don't ask me. I'm terrible with money. Yeah, that's obvious.
Wow. I should never give myself money again.
It's like a Gollum type conversation, except I'm just crossing my eyes because I don't even have a mirror.
But is Jason spending all of his money on weed?
Not all of it.
Come on, guys.
It's 90%.
I gotta get a job so I can pay for my weed.
Yep, gotta stop stealing it.
God. That's not true.
Stretch. What the hell? What else?
See, you call out the you call out our silent moments, just like I call out your bad ones. We both gotta stop that.
We both gotta stop that.
We've got habits.
It's a habit. It was just moving. It's called a segue. A loosely cobbled together stool of a segue.
Yeah, no, that's the stool.
See, calling out my calling out is not helping the calling out, I would say.
It's but like it when still you, does make it
it's,
real.
It's when you shush somebody in a theater and your shush is more disruptive.
Yes.
Now what's the problem, really? Or like when you go to teach someone a lesson and you end up like breaking their leg, it's like, well, did you, like, I feel like you're the problem now. Okay, that's, I've never done that.
It's, I can, you know, handle that.
Yeah, okay.
I can handle that. Yeah. I see where you're coming from, and that's fair.
No.
It's not nice, but it's, I'm just kidding. It's fine.
So what else is happening?
Oh, my gosh! Well, my favorite Roscoe thing right now is when I pick him up, and he gives me the rundown of his day because he doesn't like his teacher. So it's always good. I need to just have, like, a camera and a microphone, because it's great. It's never not great. I don't know.
Where would you find a microphone?
Okay, so his teacher started this new thing where she's older, so you can tell she has less control of the classroom and less patience, so she's just implementing more rules to try to add structure. And so she goes, all right. He goes, well, it's terrible because everybody had to walk laps today at recess because our teacher says we have to raise our hand if we need to get up and we have to raise our hand before we speak and we can't do anything. And he goes, I barely said anything. I whispered. I whispered 6 more minutes till recess to my friend. And that got me a lap. I'm like, well, that's it. Just because you barely speak, it's still under the veil of speaking. And then you spoke without doing the thing, right?
Yeah, no, it works the same way with shoplifting. You know,
yeah. I barely shoplifted, okay?
Yeah.
You
stole like half of a candy bar.
Took something. Oh my gosh.
Come on.
So anyway, I told him, well, the rules are there for a reason. And he goes, yeah. He goes, but I had to walk 10 laps today. Like, woo. And he's like, but I wasn't even the one who had to walk the most. And everybody who doesn't even get laps, they got laps. So everyone's getting used to the rules, right? And he said, yeah, but it's hard. And I go, well, it's hard. He goes, don't say it, Mom. I know what you're going to say. It is hard, but it's not impossible. That's ridiculous. I'm like, well, at least the lessons are getting in. I don't even have to say what I'm going to say because he already knows it. So half my parenting's done for me.
That's great.
Yeah. Thank you for that recollection, Roscoe. Now just do it.
Yeah. He's like the Roomba of parenting.
Yeah. Yeah. He just scoops it right back up.
Self-cleaning.
And then we got an email from the teacher. It was sent to Anthony and I. And she didn't say Roscoe. She said,
I think it's Anthony and me.
Whatever. Marley and me. Yep. So she emailed us. And she emailed we. And she's like,
we unit.
She said, your child did well today. By no means is he did he behave perfectly. But I wanted to say that I was proud of him. Thank you.
Was that like, is that like a Trumpian thing where he just like didn't shit the mic and that was a great day?
Who knows? Roscoe's pretty great. At least he adds something to society.
Yeah. He's got his brain in there that thinks the way that it does.
And he actually has compassion. That's what I love. I love that he, like, when you talk to him and you break it down, he's just not going to blindly follow your train of thought because you say it. You have to explain yourself. He's not going to just take what you say at face value. He's like, well, in my spirit, that doesn't make sense, and that's not valid, so explain yourself. And if it makes sense, he's like, okay, I can get on board with that. But if it doesn't, you have to back yourself up. Well, and most people can't, so he doesn't respect that.
I have felt the same way when I was growing up, and I think the issue is...
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's the statistics of... You know, with the success. See, I am trying to teach you people, through my ill use of puns, I'm demonstrating how many times they suck, which is true. You have to stop caring about that.
You've already accepted that you're listening to this. You have to accept that there's going to be crappy puns.
lots of crap. And it's good for Roscoe to know that, and it's good for anybody to, well, like, when people tell me about the ills of society, they never really mention that being not stupid helps avoid those things a lot. And in growing up, most of the people you meet will fall into that mediocre to subpar range. And yeah, the way that they relate to information and logic in a lot of times, a lot of instances, is shallow. Like, that was a big problem that my friends and I have had going through school. The recitation of information in that distillation institution.
Installation, got it.
Was so rote, and so I don't know. Just it was not really getting at the core of understanding, like in mm-hmm. vocabulary or mm-hmm. in Japanese class. They would teach us
yep.
sentence structures, and they would teach us some words, but we would never really be taught about like etymology or the development or like the base concepts. And
the
I think a lot of that
concept and root idea, absolutely, 100%.
So there's a lot of people walking around with sort of shallow references to information and to understanding.
Well, and
for most people that's enough.
Yeah,
that's why they keep passing that around. That's why they all
that's true.
Buy into it, because they don't have enough bandwidth to assess it, to reassess it. But
yeah,
when you're a Roscoe type or somebody like that, you have plenty of thoughts coming from inside, you're checking the outside thoughts against these inside thoughts, and you're noticing
yep.
at least inconsistencies, but at least lack of enough information. Like the data points that you're receiving aren't enough to confirm the hypothesis that you're being told.
Yes.
And that happens,
oh my gosh, yeah,
so often. So that's why like Roscoe, myself, a lot of, you know, folks,
yep, I do the same
in
thing.
Our family, yeah, it we does, self-assimilate yep. information, because there's just not enough to form a factual basis from what we're receiving as input.
Well, and then the information, if it's baseless and you don't give me enough or rooted, then it doesn't stick. It's out. It's gone. Like, I can't retain it. Because I'm like, that is not rooted in anything that makes sense. Therefore, I can't root it to my spirit or my, like, psychology. Yeah. So, it's I don't need it. My brain says you don't need it.
And I can, you know, like, I can maybe shed some light on this just familially. When I write lyrics, for example, that's a technique that I use, that I employ most all the time, is that I will cross-reference the literal and metaphorical meanings of lyrics throughout the song, so that eventually the whole song is locked in like a spider web. Every word, if you move one word, it changes another word. And I think that our family enjoys logic structures that they reformulate themselves in a sort of fractal pattern where it's like, that's the way it has to exist, because if you move this word, and it may not be perfect, you can always go back and edit. There is a way to get to that state, and it's by editing and improving. But once you get there, there's just fine-tuned adjustments to be made, because at a certain point, you would hope that things exist in a natural state that is a necessary state. In addition
right,
to, you
so
know.
It makes sense. It makes it whole. It makes it fleshed out, like more
like nature.
Yeah.
Basic. It's the whole. It's the communion with the divine that you feel when you're creating something nice or artistic. Because it's like,
especially creative. Yeah, there's so much feeling.
I received a meaningful feedback from this endeavor, and so I know that there is some truth and some actualness to it. Even if I leave and I don't exist anymore, people will still relate to this because it relates to the world at large. And
deeper level, yeah.
Yeah. So that about the thing that we were talking about.
About the thing.
Yeah. Apply all those words to that stuff. And then I just point to a pile of like garbage and clothes.
Yeah, clothes and a couple like dried flowers.
Put the words on the flowers.
Well, and I think that's what's hard is, like, I was talking to a friend of mine, like, Roscoe doesn't have to be on the scale of autism, even though when he was little, he probably was.
We're all on every spectrum.
Oh, that's yeah, absolutely. So he does need more specialized, like, I'm not sitting here, like, all my kids are actually wildly intelligent, straight-A kids, easily, and very intelligent, and all my kids are beautifully unique. Roscoe's his own dude. We've been over this.
Bunch of snowflakes.
Typical society cannot teach him the typical way. He literally is beyond it. I'm not saying he's like can outthink adults, well, but he can. But
beyond, beside, it's a matter of perspective, literally, where you're standing in relation to Roscoe and it.
Well, I mean, the fact that he can think through, talk through, like the concepts that, you know, he's able to work through. He's just, he literally is over it. I'm not saying that he's the smartest person ever.
Get that kid a guitar. Get that kid a guitar. I don't know if he's...
That's true.
He may have some other form of, like, internal synesthesia, but I feel like I've got...
The way that people,
you know, see smells or smell sounds or things,
I think there's
an internal version of that where your thoughts come across in different ways, and I definitely tune in melodically to my thoughts most of the time. So there's something going on in my head with the creativity plus melodies. So you might see if he takes to music, because the earlier he does that, the more he'll be satisfied in his life, because he'll always have that to turn to. I wish I had been convinced. I don't know if I could have been forced, but convinced to focus on an instrument, a melodic instrument, when I was a kid and gotten good at it, because I would have been way better at it now than I am.
Right.
And way more proficient. But I'm working on that. I'm fixing
it. Well, and too, I mean, like, I think I do want to get him into some sort of instrument. He could easily do that. But he channels everything into sports. Like, sports are his world, his life. Anytime he does any sport, he excels, and there's no quit in him. No quit.
Yeah,
no stop, no quit, no nothing.
Kids should have, like, an athletic activity, a musical activity, and then a linguistic activity, be it programming or an actual spoken language. I think those are three pillars of adolescence, where you need to be physical, you need to be musical.
Oh, for sure. And you need to be more well-rounded,
Like, linguistical. I don't know what a more thesauristic word is for that.
Yeah.
Thoracic word.
Yeah, from the thoracic age.
Yeah, you thorassholes.
That's the one. We found it. You're welcome. Goodbye.
Yep, excavated that. Now I'm gonna crush it in my hand. If I were to have children, in addition to fixing, or at least in particular, in addition to those three pillars, specifically, I would have to step entirely outside of my comfort zone and establish a strong, very strong emotional connections and make sure, because I think that's, I don't know how it happened, but that's definitely what I'm missing. Before I have kids, I need to fix that.
Yeah.
And then become a person who is
like
very comfortable.
Connecting,
or at least put on a facade where it seems like I'm connecting meaningful and emotionally with my children, so that at least they believe that that's happening, so that they take that into the world. I just have to act as if in a psychopathic manner, at the very least.
At the very least, I owe my children this.
Every time I looked into my dad's eyes after he hugged me, I saw a certain cold precision that would send chills down my warm heart.
It's true. Yeah. That's I connect emotionally with my children too, and they're like, they feel it, and it is a part of it, because that's how I'm able to sense when they're just a little bit off, or they need a little bit more nurturing, or they need, you know, XYZ. You have to be super tuned in.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I think in the middle of that speech, little lady jumped up on the desk, and without skipping a beat, I just kind of grabbed her and put her back on the floor without paying a bit of it. Just like, I need to become more emotionally connected. Get the fuck out of here, cat.
Yes.
Fuck off. And then I just like kicked the shit out of her. Like,
you did not.
All right,
not
and about
kick
being
her,
emotionally
stop.
More sensitive.
No, stop. You can't say stuff like that. People would think you actually would, and you never would.
I wish you would just quit being such a pussy.
There he is. There it is.
That word used to be decent, and then you people changed it. You people got to it, and you changed it somehow, and now it's not the same word that it used to be.
It's two other words that we don't like. Can it just be the original?
Gay fags. You retarded gay fags changed the word, and now it's different.
Jason.
I'm going to start a band called the Retard Gay Fags.
Really?
The gay fagtards. I don't know. You know, these words used to be innocent, and they meant nice things like butterflies and happiness.
Yep, and this is why we can't have nice things.
No, we can't, because it all turns gay, and you're a bunch of fags.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my geisha.
Do you really just, like, is this, do you have, like, a quota like before you sit down. Like, I have to meet this quota of saying this many things this many times.
Well, what kind of things specifically? Because I say a lot of things. Terrible things? I do.
Yes.
I have a quota.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you have like when you walk into Costco and they have that little clicker, or like an amusement park, and they're clicking to be like how many people come in.
I just grab that guy's hand and just slam it down like 20 times.
Yeah, and you're like,
drink that!
And you're welcome.
You're welcome. See you later. You're welcome.
Hey, I'm not a bad guy. I'm just a bad guy. That sounds like you.
Yeah, basically. To a t-shirt.
Stop. So you're pretty much working at Domino's. You're helping mom and dad with some yard work. Is this like an end goal? Are you going to be a yard working pizza guy?
No, I hear at Domino's they fill potholes. I doubt they actually do that.
They did for one promotion.
They said they did. I don't
They had
know
a commercial of it.
Yeah, I'm sure they did that thing.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. You might be an employee of them now.
No, I thought I'd be a pizza delivering gigolo. That'd
there be cool. it is.
No, I'd be pretty sweet.
I knew there was another motive.
I'm just gonna be moonlighting as a pizza guy until I can be full time sugar baby.
Sugar baby.
I'm beefing up my sugar babe pork.
My report, portfolio.
It's short for portfolio. My sugar baby portfolio. I am, I'm drumming that up.
Mm-hmm.
Drumming up some business. Got to be passing out some sleazy business cards.
Sleazy business cards.
Smell like cologne, cologne, and I'll hand those out.
They smell like Axe body spray.
Along with melted breath mints that are inside of the pizza boxes.
Oof.
Just like, I threw a few Andy's mints in there for you, too, and they open it up, and they're just kind of like melted into the cheese. It's like, oh.
Ooh. But they're still calls.
I'm hungry. I'll eat around the Andy's mints. That's fine, I guess. It's like, hey, buddy, I'm trying to save you time. And then I start putting the Andy's mints on the crust because I, thought about it.
Hey, he's changing. He's evolving.
It's like, you know what? This doesn't make much sense that I move the mint to the crust.
Oh my god!
It's like, that's better. And then when it's a stuffed crust, you see me just sitting there for like half an hour, like fuck. I don't know where to put the mint. If I put it in the center, then there's just a pile of them. Damn it!
And then this keeps JC awake at night.
Yeah. I meant to do that. Now who's gonna clean this up?
Who's gonna clean this up? Damn it.
No.
Fuck.
Yep, that's JC. See you guys later.
That's JC.
I gotta go deliver some pizzas. Be right back.
Picturing the Andy's mints. Like, if the wrapper, the seam is, down in the chocolate, actually. But if it's up, it's like, well, we could put them in the fridge. Need them later. Yeah,
they're still good, actually. Most of it's still in the wrapper. It's just a little weird shape now.
And they think that you really are, special needs delivery guys.
They give me an extra tip. And then they let me have a slice of pizza, too, just because it's like, I asked for it, but they didn't. Yeah, they feel bad, so they ignore the lack of boundaries.
But then they still have a lot more questions, how is a special needs driver allowed to drive?
Who licensed that guy?
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, well, the pizza's still good.
Yeah, the same state that teaches your children how to be adults licensed that gentleman, so. Yeah, good luck. Good luck.
Good luck.
With your career. Best of luck to you.
Anyway, so you are. Sincerely. It sounds like you're really building a solid career.
A robust portfolio, I believe I called it. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be the pizza guy.
I'm gonna be the pizza guy.
You know the guy, the pizza guy? That's me. I'm that guy.
Yeah.
So I'll be there with pizza.
Like, is there a grander plan, or is this, temporary? Are you just trying to figure your life out? Because we're not a tattoo artist. We're not a 3D artist anymore.
I'm really good at saying dumb things into microphones and writing music. If that helps.
And writing music that nobody hears. Well, you, are you...
They have to listen to it to hear it, so that's more their fault than mine.
And that's how it works.
Yeah, that's why it's not my fault, and I'm not gonna fix it.
I'm not gonna fix it! Yep. Well, at least it sounds like you're helpful, like you're helping...
Well, that is what I... That is... That does give me, bring me some comfort, like earnestly.
I know. Earnestly.
At least, Ernest goes to a thoughtful town. Ernest goes to reflect upon his life.
He goes to the reflect bond.
Yeah, yeah. There is where he went. At least I'm not Mitch McConnell or Paul Ryan.
Yep. Or that's right.
Or just a liar. You know, like what if I was as big of a loser as I am, plus a piece of shit. Okay, at least I'm not that. Because yep. I forget sometimes. At least I'm not ripping people off and being terrible.
Yeah, I'm not just saying it. That actually, you are.
I'm bad at being bad, and I'm just not good at being good. Yeah.
Sorry? Go ahead. Let's have a t-shirt made of that.
Yeah. I need to get some t-shirts made.
Then you could be a t-shirt maker.
From scratch. I just want to make the t-shirts from scratch. And then you can put up whatever you want.
That would be a good idea, though, because Mom and Dad used to have a t-shirt press. If you could design and sell your own t-shirts in the window, those would be good, because those are great.
Maybe. I guess,
ironically locally. And unironically.
Yeah. Or just that nice middle ground where everybody buys it, because they don't know if it is ironic or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the sweet spot. That's where the cash is. The confusing gray area where you can make ambiguous jokes and both sides of the political aisle find meaning in it. It's like that movie 300, when Republicans were like, yeah, we're the badass 300. The people who, like, we're the badasses with muscles who showed guys what's up because we're cool. And then liberals were like, yeah, we're the robust and vocal minority who took on the majority and we made our voices heard. And it's like, whoa, what? And like Avatar is one of those movies too. You get to read into it whatever the hell you feel. Both Republicans and Democrats like it because it's ambiguous enough. You can graft your own morals on anywhere.
Graft your own morals. Yeah, nope. Like how they grafted Dad's finger back on. Just like that. You can graft your own morals.
Yeah.
When
you look at it, it's not quite like normal morals, but it does the job pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, morals, opinions are like assholes, and morals are like broken fingers. Everybody has them? I don't know. Morals are like broken fingers in that you don't always have them, but when you do, you make excuses as to why you can't perform adequately.
You can't even flip somebody off with your broken middle finger.
I don't know. That's going to be, maybe I'll try, since this is the second episode, I'll attempt to put together, as of this recording, I don't have recorded the capitalism market. It's the next episode in the Change of Planets podcast, and it could it's the scruples market. Capitalism, I have a theory, is not really the selling of things, it's the selling of the lack of scruples.
Oh yeah.
No. It's a sound economic theory rather that I've come up with. And it sounds funny, but it's true. Like it doesn't really matter what you're selling, whether it's a product or a service or what the product or service are, it just matters the manner in which you sell it. And in most cases, the fewer scruples you have about selling the thing, the product, the more of it you the more avenues open up for selling. So having few scruples does not necessarily guarantee success, and having scruples doesn't guarantee failure, but having the fewer scruples you have, the more opportunities for success there are in capitalism. I think that could be a scientifically supported fact, just via math. I'm gonna go ahead and pull the math card. It's next to the race card, so it gets pulled sometimes, but not usually.
I know. Someone set the cards down. And yeah, it's right there card. Next to the math one.
It needs to get pulled more. I feel like climate change, minimum wage, education, you know, criminal statistics, illegal drugs, prostitution. There's a lot of math cards we could be pulling that would really just sort of, you know, it's like the Trump card, except we pulled the Trump card, not the math card. And the race card kind of, a whole stack of race cards flew out when we pulled the Trump card.
It's a race cars.
It's 52 race card pickup. And so, that's not, I didn't say race car, I said race card.
I know.
You freaking ingrates. Enunciate, okay?
Freaking ingrates.
It's pronounced America.
Okay, scruple is a noun. A feeling of doubt or hesitation with regard to the morality or propriety of a course of action. Or it could also be a unit of weight using 20 grains.
Or a popular dish in Italy where a batch of scruples are lightly braised and then thrown against a wall.
Lightly braised scruples.
Would you like your scruples a la flambé?
A la flambé.
The flaming scruples.
Hold your scruples to the flame.
Yeah.
That could also mean your balls.
Oh.
Oh.
I thought you scrupticles. I'm familiar with the term. It's a medical term.
Obviously.
Pow, right in the scrupticles.
That makes more sense. Mm-hmm. See, here we are, taking some things and making the things better. You're welcome.
Yeah, right in the sensicles.
Right in the sensicles. Nonsensicals.
Yep.
Yep.
Good.
That's for darn sure. That's for damn darn sure.
It is.
We haven't done Urban Dictionary in a while. I wonder if that website still exists.
Oh, snap. Urban Dictionary. There it is, was.
All right, I'll do it. It's fine. I'll find something. Urban
Dictionary. We'll give you a minute to pull that up.
Guess what today's is? It's called Blacking Out.
Corn on the macabre.
Jason, we already said blacking out this episode, and that is what is happening on Urban Dictionary.
Is it just random? It's the of the day? What is
it?
Yep. It's blackout?
Blacking out.
Oh, well, why is that?
It's an actual thing.
That's a real term.
Urban.
Yeah, what's this term doing over here in the seedy part of town, in the red light dictionary?
Red light dick.
No, trick.
Shrinary. To get so chemically altered that you don't remember anything. That's just a regular.
That's a layman's expression of an actual defined term.
Yeah, I'm not even going to read it. This is so stupid.
That's a dumb one. That's dumb. Wow.
Really
well,
dumb.
Thanks. Urban Dictionary for just ruining today's theme. Oh.
The next one's bad too.
That sucks.
Oh wow, this took a turn.
Huh. Oh. We need the Facebook to the Urban Dictionary MySpace.
Oh, here it is. September 28th. Kavanaugh. It's a verb to get blackout drunk and show your genitals to the entire party or an individual. Brett, dude, what happened last night? Mark, you drank a whole case of beer and totally Kavanaugh'd Christine.
Okay. Well, I like that because it, again, has to do with blacking out. and when you're having a good time.
JC can relate. Having a good time. Is that what you said?
What's going to go down or come out or flop into someone's face?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the dick drawing on the face is really just sort of a rudimentary caveman-like depiction of basically a real-life event that they saw. It's not like someone just thought of that. Not some genius wasn't just sitting there one day like, oh man, my friend's passed out, let me draw a penis on his face. It started with putting the penis on the face, and then later someone was like, maybe they didn't have a penis handy. It's a bunch of ladies hanging out.
Yeah, maybe you don't have to put a penis on it, okay?
Yeah, maybe.
Like maybe you don't have to do that.
It's the PC version of facial molestation. So, if we could impart anything to Kavanaugh's private parts, in privately part, onto Kavanaugh, impart
his
private
parts.
Thoughts
yeah.
onto his face.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, no, he started his own private Facebook. Face private book, something like that. I was thinking that
there
does
go.
Need to be...
Here we go. We're getting close.
No, there does need to be a social network just for dictators.
Oh, and instead of Dick Tracy, it could be Dick Facey.
Dick Facey? That's a good one. That's a good one right there.
That's a
See,
good
now
one.
You're thinking, now yeah. we're on the same page.
Right?
No. Because, you know, Trump and is soups in love with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
And but I think it's inconvenient for him to have to, for them and Putin to have to communicate publicly because it just super incriminates Trump. You know, he's trying to hook up with his besties on the DL.
Yeah.
And he can't. So yeah. I got some, I guess, unless we have any other any thoughts, I could end with some possible names these websites for dictators. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Show Harmer. Us all your dicks. Got it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Dicks out, picks out. harmersonly.com.
Oh, yep. That's a great one. Yeah. I like that.
E-tyranny. You can pretty much. Or e-tyranny, if you like. But e-tyranny. And you could assume
better.
It's a .com or a .jp or whatever after this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. There's dictator spelled without an E. So it's, you know, cutesy. It's better to read that one.
Yeah.
Instead of QAnon, there's UAnon. You know, it's like I'm thinking about you anonymously.
I like that.
It's the branding there.
That feels okay.
There's fascist book.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one, I thought. Communist. So it's like a nest of communists.
That's cute. Cuter. It makes a little,
Yeah, it's cute, but also like infesty, which is good.
Yeah,
true. In terms of branding. Office Despot.
Office Despot. Despot. Got it. Yeah. I like it.
Slinkton.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and this one, you might want to cover your children's eyes for this one.
Okay.
Mushroom Cloud.
I don't get that.
Has to do with the president's penis. Okay.
I liked all of them.
That joke may not age well. I hope it doesn't. I hope it does age to legal age. But Mushroom Cloud, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Donald Trump's penis.
Oof.
Oh, yeah, I don't think we mentioned that guy's got a heinous chode.
Anus chode.
Yeah, no. Pretty sure that's his downstairs mix-up is not a place you want to go looking for trouble. Huh?
How do you know that?
About Donald Trump's dick?
Yeah.
You didn't hear about that? Stormy Daniels described it in graphic detail.
Oh, holy heavens. No, thank you.
Yeah, no, she said it was, like, smaller than average, and it was, like, weirdly, like, a giant... The head, and it was weird.
Yeah, beak, bark, borf. Nope.
Yeah, see?
Nope.
You asked. What did you expect? Trump's definitely, everything about him is misshapen.
Well, I know.
otherworldly.
This is unkempt.
Like, what, you expect that to stop below the belt? No way. It just gets weirder. For sure.
Well, I wouldn't have expected anything less.
Yeah. It's just, I'm satisfied. I'm sad. I'm ashamed to say it, but I'm satisfied by Donald Trump's penis.
Oh, no.
Famous last words. Okay, well, on that no, I put the no in note.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Everyone just go take a big old rape shower.
That gives me the shivers.
Yeah, they take a big old shiver shower, and we'll catch y'all back here on the flippy flap.
We'll catch y'all back.
Catch y'all back on the flippy flap after your shiver shower there.
On the skin flap. Let's go.
Come on down now. All right, 3, 2, 1. Yes.